Mothers of Great Faith. Mothers of Great Faith. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to have two separate scripture texts. The first one is Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we'll read verses 21 through 28. Then we'll later go to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Many mothers in the Bible could provide great sermon examples for Mother's Day. You could look, for example, the mother of Moses, Jochebed, or the mother of Samuel, Hannah. They were wonderful mothers, and their sons were famous. But today we're going to look at two mothers, two great mothers of faith, yet their names are not even given in the Bible. We don't know their names. And these mothers aren't mothers that have famous sons or daughters, such as Samuel and Moses. But as we examine the Word of God and the story of these mothers today, we'll see indeed that these were women, they were mothers of great faith. And their faith made a difference in the lives of their children. So let us begin reading Matthew chapter 15, 21 through 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered, Jesus answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. What a miracle. The Bible describes this woman as a woman from Canaan, meaning she was a Gentile. She was not a Jew. In fact, Mark's gospel refers to her as a Syrophoenician, meaning she was Greek by birth. Her background was likely pagan. Think about it. The Jews and the Jewish leaders of the synagogue, they had rejected Jesus. But this woman no doubt had heard of the teachings of Christ and the words that he had said. She had often heard of the miracles of Christ. And when she cried out to him, she used this expression, "Son of David," she said. When she said that, she was acknowledging that Jesus was the promised Messiah that God had promised to send to the world and to send to Israel. A Gentile woman of Canaan was making that declaration who Jesus was, and yet all the religious leaders of the Jews at that time, either they were willingly ignorant or they just refused to believe and recognize that Christ was the promised Messiah. A godly mother looks beyond all the noise and all the stuff that's going on, all the misinformation that's in this culture. They ignore all those things. They look beyond it. And with perseverance, a godly mother puts her faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and looks to Him and Him alone for help with her children. Amen. This Canaanite woman's greatest problem was her daughter. She described her daughter as being severely demon-possessed. You know, the most distressing of all parental problems is when the devil is attacking our children. And as mothers and fathers, we go to prayer on behalf of our children. For godly mothers, everything else seems insignificant when their children are hurting, when their children are at risk, when sickness comes and your child has a high fever. Mothers of faith, godly women, at those points, they fall down on their knees. They go to the Lord in prayer. They call out to Christ on behalf of their sick daughter or their sick son. This Canaanite woman, she came to Jesus too, didn't she? She came to Christ. Blessed is the mother who knows where to go when she's got problems. Blessed is the mother that knows to call upon God on behalf of her family and her children. Blessed is the mother that knows that Christ is the only hope for her life and the life of her children. And finally, this mother, this Canaanite mother, she refused to give up. You remember the disciples, they told Jesus, they said, "Lord, just send her away. We're tired of this noise. We're tired of hearing this." And Jesus then responded to her, and he said, "Look, I've only come to the lost sheep of Israel," meaning you're a Gentile, and what do you have to do with me? I'm not here to minister to you. And then he went on to say, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. That's kind of insulting, isn't it? Jesus made this statement to this woman to test her faith and to test her humility. The Jews often referred to non-Jewish folks, Gentiles, they often referred to them as dogs. But Jesus, he softened it a little bit by referencing or using the term little dogs, which is kind of like puppies, which made it not quite so harsh. Well, how did this woman react? How did she react to the words of Christ when he said, "I've not come to minister to you, and we don't give the food for the children of Israel to the dogs"? How did she react? Was she offended? Was she hurt? Was she angry? Was she despondent? Did she give up? No, none of those. In fact, the first thing she did upon Jesus' first response was, the Bible says, she worshiped him, and then she said, "Lord, help me." Wow, what an example for us today. She worshiped him and said, "Lord, help me." Then she reasoned after Jesus' second refusal. After he said, "No, I can't give you this, the crumbs from the table." She said, "Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." It was as if she was saying, "Yes, Lord, I'm just a little dog, but my daughter desperately needs help. I'm nothing. Yes, I'm nothing. But please, Jesus, listen to me. My daughter needs help. Just a little crumb from you is all I need. It's all I'm asking for." Godly mothers, mothers of faith, they're willing to humble themselves before God on behalf of their children. So great is their love for their children. Finally, Jesus says to her, as we read earlier, he says to her, "Great is your faith." The Bible says that her daughter was immediately healed. You notice he didn't tell her, "You've got a great personality, you're a beautiful woman, great is your intelligence, great is your standing in the community, oh, great is your influence, great is your wealth." He didn't say any of that. Listen to what he said. He said the most important thing that a mother can have is faith. He said, "Great is your faith." What great words. There's no greater characteristic. There is no greater goal for a mother than to have great faith, especially to have great faith on behalf of her family and her children. The Bible tells us that this dear mother went home. She found that the demon was gone and that her daughter was lying on the bed completely well, completely healed. What a great miracle it was, because a mother had great faith. The second example we look at this morning is an example found in 2 Kings chapter 4. We don't know her name either, so we just simply refer to her as the poor widow. But in 2 Kings chapter 4, read verses 1 through 7. "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones.' So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Elisha had apparently known this woman's husband. Her husband was a true believer in the one true God. And when he had died, he obviously had left unpaid debt. And the creditor was trying to collect the debt, and so as was the custom and the law would allow, he was going to take her two sons and make slaves of them until the debt was repaid. This poor woman's life was in a mess, wasn't it? Her husband's gone. I'm sure she's grieving and hurting, missing him. He was the source of the livelihood for the home. There's no money, there's no income, there's debts to pay, and now she's going to lose her boys. What an incredible situation. In this situation, though, she found that the answer was right there in her own home, didn't she? Elisha says, "What you got in your home?" And she says, I've just got a little jar of oil." But that question, "What do you have in your home?" That's a good question even today, isn't it? So mothers, let me ask you, what do you have in your home? Do you have love there? Do you have family members that love you? Do you have a home? Do you have food in your home? Do you have a place to go that's safe and warm and dry? Do you have friends and loved ones that are there for you? Do you have the Word of God in that home? Is there faith in that home? Is there trust in Christ in that home? Well, this widow woman, whose name is never revealed, and she said, I've just got a jar of oil in the house. And we see in this story, the next thing that happens is that Elisha is giving her instructions. He gave her instructions. He said, "Go gather from all your neighbors, everybody, get every vessel, every jar, everything you can find." Now, you've got to admit that in the natural, having this man of God tell you to start gathering all these vessels, and all you've got is a little jar in the house, that had to seem really crazy, didn't it? I mean, in the natural, it did seem crazy. She's got to go to all of her neighbors and borrow every jar and bottle and pan and any kind of vessel they can find and borrow from the neighbors and bring it home. And then she's told her and her son's going to go inside and shut the door and begin pouring oil into all these vessels out of one little jar of oil. Now, can you imagine, just for a minute, can you imagine this widow lady? She's at the neighbor's house. She's knocked on the neighbor's door, and she says, "I need to borrow some unused jars and vessels, whatever you got." And the neighbor's nice to her, and they say, "Well, it's okay. We'll do that, but what's going on? And why do you need all these? In fact, I've heard that you've been asking other people around the neighborhood for all of their empty vessels and jars, and I'm just wondering what in the world's going on. I know you must be going through a terrible time. You've lost your husband, and what are you guys doing? Are you and your boys making moonshine? What is this?" How do you think this little lady could have responded? What could she say? If she tells the truth to them, they're going to think she's certified nuts, isn't she? "Oh, I'm gathering all these vessels. We got one little tiny jar, and it's going to fill." They'd think she's lost her mind. They would have thought, this woman's stress has just done her in, and now she's ready to go to the state hospital for the mentally ill. But she did exactly as what the man of God, what God, through him, had instructed her to do. There's not one sentence, there's not one word in the Bible that says she hesitated, or she wondered, or she questioned, or she was uncertain, or she thought to herself, "This is nuts." There's none of that. She did immediately and instantly what God, through this man, had directed her to do. She didn't put it off. There was no doubt. She just had obedience to what God had instructed her in her life to do at that moment. That took faith, didn't it? It took incredible faith. What great faith it took to act on what seemed so silly and so totally outside the world of reason. But a mother's great faith in action is what we see in this dear, poor widow woman. And she even involved her sons in the miracle, didn't she? She had them involved in collecting all the vessels and jars and everything. She had them in the room when she went in and shut the door. I'll tell you, godly mothers living out their faith involve their children. Godly mothers share their faith. They speak faith in their lives to their children, and they live it out, steps of faith, acting upon faith in obedience to God's word and the leading of His Holy Spirit. It was 1961, and my father had been run over by a car when he was walking across the street. Because he was so drunk, he could hardly figure out where he was or what he was doing. A car hit him going 40 miles an hour late one night when he walked out of a bar. As a result of that, he was in the hospital for several weeks. And when they sent him home, they sent him home in a body cast. The cast was all around his chest, continued down one leg, and then one arm. And it was, there was no separation. It was a body cast, literally. It was just, he could sit up barely in a wheelchair. He decided not to come home when he got out of the hospital. He had a car lot over on Irving Boulevard, and there was a little house on that car lot that had been turned into a little office. He wanted to go back there, I guess thinking maybe he could manage his car lot business there if he was there in that little house, even though he was in a wheelchair and in a body cast. My mother took my two sisters and I over to that little car lot, to that little house, so we could visit my father when he got there. I can remember when we walked in. He was drunk and he was angry and he was cursing. He had been drunk when he got hit and nearly died. He's out of the hospital. His life has been saved and now he's drunk again. That's the effect of alcoholism on a man or a woman that's not set free from it. That's why we love the ministry of Adult Teen Challenge. I can remember when we left that day, my mother got in the car. She was just crying. My dad had taken what little bit of money she still had from her job at Sears and Roebuck. He'd taken that money so he could pay a few bills to keep his business going. We had no money. We went home. We didn't have any food. My mother was just so despondent. We went to bed that night, got up the next morning to get ready to go to school. My mother gathered my sisters and I and called us to come into the living room. She had us kneel down beside her as she knelt down on the sofa. She said, "We don't have any food for breakfast. We don't have any eggs or toast or cereal. We don't have any food at all for breakfast. But we're just going to trust God, and I want you kids to pray with me." She began to pray, and tears coming down her face. And of course, we were praying, asking God to help us. To help my mother, because we hated to see her cry. I hate to see your mother cry. And she was so broken as we prayed. And as we got through praying it, she got up and she just seemed to have this confidence that everything was going to be okay. I don't know why as a child, but I could just see that in her as we were getting up. And she seemed everything was going to, she was telling us everything's going to be okay. She went back into the kitchen. And in just a minute or two after she'd gone in the kitchen, I heard her scream from the kitchen. She screamed and I ran into the kitchen. And she's standing there holding a Quaker Oats cereal box, a brand new unopened box of Quaker Oats. And she said, "God just gave us a miracle." Now, folks would say today, "Well, you know, it was probably there all the time in the cupboard and she just missed it." I'm going to tell you, a mother that's desperate for food for her children is not going to miss a brand new big box of Quaker Oats sitting in the cupboard. There's hardly anything in the cupboard to start with. She didn't miss it. God just gave us a miracle that morning. And I never forgot that miracle of Quaker Oats breakfast and how good those Quaker Oats tasted. We didn't have any milk or anything else, but we could eat those Quaker Oats in that hot water and mix them up and had a little brown sugar or something to put on them. The poor widow in this story in 2 Kings, she filled all those empty vessels and she asked for, she got everything that she asked for. Her plea, initially, if you remember, her plea was just enough money to pay the creditor, just enough money to keep her sons from being taken as slaves. And yet God gave her so much more than she asked for. He still does that to you and me today. She not only got enough money to take care of the creditor, it says that she had enough money for her and her sons to live on. It's like God gave her an oil well that's just going to keep paying over and over. I can imagine that poor widow's boys always remembered the miracle of a single little jar of oil filling again and again and again empty vessels with that oil that was in that home. God is still doing it today. He is still filling empty vessels. He's still filling hearts and souls that are empty, that reach up to Him in faith, that ask Him to come into their hearts and be their Savior. He's still filling those hearts that are riddled with sin, that call out to Him for forgiveness. And Jesus comes with His loving presence and fills that vessel. He fills those hungry men and women and boys and girls with His presence and with His precious Holy Spirit inside of them. He's still doing that today for everyone that calls out to Him. Flowing out and running over, that'll never run dry. Those are the words of Jesus, isn't it? Thank God for mothers of faith. Thank God for mothers that show us Christ. Thank God for mothers by their actions and their walk with the Lord is an example to us of a life of faith. My mother gave me the greatest gift that a mother can give any child, trusting in God. Believing in Christ, believing in the Word of God, the Holy Bible, is the foundation for our life. There is no greater gift than what a mother can give their child. Thank God again for mothers of great faith. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?